are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it, and I hope you come back each and every night, Monday through Friday. We have a good time, great guests, and some interesting topics. Got some email since Ed Grimsley was on the show wanting to know, where can I get tickets to the conference that he's going to be having in May in Sedona, Arizona? All right, here it is. Write it down, all right? If you don't get it written down, don't send me an email and say, could you repeat it or could you send it to me? And you know why? Because you can go on my website and listen to the latest show and hear it again, okay? Or watch the latest show. You can do either one. Here it is, UFOSkyWatch.com. UFOSkyWatch.com. That's where you go and get the tickets for the Ed Grimsley Skywatch Seminar in Sedona, Arizona. A quick notice here about our seminar that's coming up, God's in the Garden Seminar, that's coming up on the 29th of this month. Everyone who is subscribed to the K-Files e-zine has seen the notices that we were offering the seminar at a special price. That's good through Sunday night. Sunday night at midnight, it goes up to regular price. It's $35 now. It'll be $45 after Sunday night. So if you've been sort of diddling around saying, I think I would like to attend that, I mean, it's up to you. It's your money. I would do it before the price goes up. Some of you still are confused, and you're saying, yeah, I'd like to go, but Phoenix is so far away. That's why you can attend live online. That's why you can attend live online. If you're registered, you'll get a password. I'm still getting email from people asking me to, you know, can you send me my password? No. We sent out many, many messages, and I've announced it on the air 2 days before the seminar. Are you listening? 2 days before the seminar. Everyone who's registered will get an email, and it will have your password in it where you can then watch the seminar. The reason we have to do it that way is we have to get it all collected up in one big wad and send it out all together. Otherwise, I'll be sending emails all day, every day, all night, every night, and we're just going to do it all at one time, all right? So 2 days before the seminar, you're going to get your password. Tonight, you know what tonight is, right? This is Friday. This is K-Files e-zine night. That means our newsletter is headed out, and if you're not subscribed, why not? It's free. Why would you prefer to be in the dark and not know what's going on? It's free, and there are no strings attached, none. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Most people don't. Most people prefer to stay informed. But if you decide you want to unsubscribe, you can do that. All right? No cost. No cost. It's free. So you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click on the button that says, amazingly, K-Files e-zine. And that's where you'll be able to subscribe. Now, when you subscribe, you're going to get an automatic response from us. And it has a link in it where you can download a free ebook. We'll be back right after this with Bart Sobrell. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I promised that I was going to wear this T-shirt tonight. No tie tonight. Normally, I've got my tie on, you know, but I've got this T-shirt on. It says, let me stand up. Can you see? There we go. It says, UFOs are real, and then right underneath it, you can't read what it says. It says, UFOs are real. The government doesn't exist. Ed Grimsley gave me that as a gift. And I promised I'd wear it tonight. There it is. And let's go straight to our guest. Bart Sobrell is a professional film and television producer for over 20 years. He says that he is absolutely convinced that U.S. astronauts never went to the moon. And he has confronted a number of these astronauts and asked them to swear on a Bible that they stood on the moon. So far as I know, none of them have taken him up on that offer, but he has gotten some pretty interesting responses from them. However, we'll just take a look at some of those in a few minutes. Bart, welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you.
Well, thank you for having me on, Kevin.
Bart, let's take a look at, one of the videos right off the bat here and see what's happening. This is you with Buzz Aldrin, and I'll describe for our radio audience, you're walking out into the street with him and asking him to swear on a Bible. He turns around like he's going to go after you. His lady friend or wife pulls him back. And then here you are standing talking with him, and he delivers a punch right to your face. Now, this is Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin. And he delivers a punch right to your face. We'll get to the to this other video in just a moment. It started up, but we'll get to it in just a moment. What is this all about?
Well, I want to first apologize to Buzz Aldrin. Even though he hit me, I felt like that was my fault. I didn't intend on provoking him. I certainly didn't wake up that day and say, hey, I'm going to provoke Buzz Aldrin. And I'm sure he didn't wake up that day and say he's going to punch Bart Sobrell. But, you know, sometimes the heat gets turned up a lot. I certainly thought that what I was doing was right. Asked him to take an oath, something that the taxpayers spent a lot of money on that I have proof of is fraudulent. And at the time, I thought that was a reasonable thing to do. And he kind of got turned up, and I called him a liar, a coward, and a thief, which I don't think was appropriate now that I look back on it. He took offense, and he punched me. No, he's quick. I got to say, the guy's still in good shape, but he's coming, and it's certainly knocked me back off my foot. You know, I had to go back on one foot, so he's got a lot of strength still in him. But I just persisted. You know, to me, if I walked on the moon and someone thought otherwise, I would find that hysterical. You know, I would say I'd swear in a stack of Bibles. You know, are you okay? Do you need a doctor? But he found a lot of offense at my persistence because he knows that I know that he did not walk on the moon. In fact, I have a recording of him pretty much admitting to that fact where I ask him about all of this. I confront him. I show him this fake footage that he shot. And he says that this will make me a real famous person, that I have some bad motive for wanting this truth to come out, that I want to propel myself as a journalist. So that's an admission that I'm right. I certainly don't see how I could become famous if I'm wrong.
Well, how did this incident come to an end? Did he ever apologize to you for hitting you?
No, he didn't, but I wrote him a letter of apology. I'm afraid they took me a while to humble out, and it was probably a year later I kind of realized that I had provoked him. I wanted to take responsibility for that event. And, you know, I apologized to him for provoking him, you know. And I think he's a good guy. I think he was probably put under a lot of pressure. We're the only man who had claimed to walk on the moon. I suspect that he might have already come forward and told the truth. The problem is there's several men who make that claim, and it'd be one thing to confess your sin, but to confess somebody else's sin, you know, that would be kind of hard to do.
Yeah, let's take a look at another one of those. This is Ed Young, and you're asking him to swear on a stack of Bibles. And he says he's going to give you the opportunity to get the hell knocked out of you, and he takes off running. What's that all about?
Yeah, he actually shot the same fake shot that Buzz Aldrin shot. And we have Buzz Aldrin saying so much on this never-before-seen footage, which you can get a copy of the DVD at moonmovie.com. It's called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And in it, we have the astronauts taking a shot of being halfway to the moon. Never-before-seen footage. And they are faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. And they refer to Apollo 10, which, of course, the astronaut you just mentioned was on. And they say that he faked it the same way on the tape. And when I pointed that out to him, he turned white as a ghost, started sweating, and literally ran away from our camera crew.
All right.
So I guess he wasn't too pleased with that being pointed out to him, and certainly not on camera.
Okay, let's get into your views about America's moon missions, and you've stated already and made it clear that, and with your movie you also make it very clear that you do not believe that American astronauts ever actually walked on the moon. So let's jump right on that. Let's jump right into that. Tell us about the proof that you find convincing that American astronauts did not go to the moon.
Well, there's a lot. It was a slow process. I actually started off being the biggest fan of the moon missions. I don't know if you know anything about biblical history, but Paul, the leader of the Christians in the New Testament, actually used to kill them. And I used to be the biggest fan of the moon missions. I had a whole bedroom wall covered with pictures of Apollo 11 for many years. And it wasn't until my young 20s where I started looking into this and met a guy from Rocketdyne who told me that they were fake. I thought he was crazy, but I thought, well, you know, never hurts looking into it. And over the course of about 5 years, we raised about $500,000, largely from an anonymous board member of a prestigious aerospace company who has an IQ close to 100.
Close
and
to what?
Company is affiliated with NASA.
He has an IQ close to what, Bart?
I'm sorry?
He has an IQ close to what?
200. There are people who knew the moon landings were fake long before I did. Bill Casey was one of them, and there are people on the board of aerospace companies who know so also. And one of these individuals who wishes to remain anonymous, he's a great guy, highly intelligent, and he knows that the moon landings are fake, and he's a patriot, and he put up about $1 million to prove it. And in the process of doing this, I've, of course, interviewed 9 Apollo astronauts. I've gone through the archives. And not only do we find squirrely things like shadows intersecting from 2 objects that are about 5 feet apart from one another, and they're intersecting at 90 degrees, and yet they claim that photos were lit by sunlight, which, of course, makes shadows always parallel, it just gets more and more and more bizarre, like 2 of the 3 Apollo astronauts never giving any interviews, the administrator of NASA resigning days before the first mission. And then, through all of our research, we find this particular footage that I confronted Buzz Aldrin with, and, of course, Ed Young with, and they turn white. They start getting very angry, and they start saying that my motives are egotistical, that I want to become world famous, and that's my unrighteous motive for wanting this to come out. Now, I don't see why they would say that if I was wrong. You know, this footage, you can see a clip of at moonmovie.com, and it is just absolutely remarkable. I recommend people get the DVD so they can see the highest resolution copy of it. Basically, if your radio listeners can imagine a TV screen, mostly black, with like a little blue Earth floating in the middle of it, this is what the crew intended to demonstrate was the Earth halfway to the moon, as they're supposed to be 2 days into the flight. So they claimed they had a TV camera, which, of course, they'd have to put the lens to the window's glass to shoot that little Earth far away. Well, they only aired about 10 seconds of it. And we have the unedited version, which is about an hour long, of them doing the shot 10, 20, 30 times over and over again. Now, they're talking about how they're faking it. And we're seeing, because we have the unedited version, exactly how they're faking it. And instead of the camera being up against the lens, it's glass, like they claim, it's actually at the back of the coupled spacecraft. And what they did, and they, of course, talk about this, that thought these conversations would be edited out, they blacked out all of the other windows in the spacecraft so that sunlight were not enter. Then, by moving the camera away from the spacecraft and having a transparency of the Earth, kind of like an X-ray taken from an unmanned probe, they put that over the circuit of the window, backlit by the Earth's shine from Earth orbit. And with the camera back away from the spacecraft and the lights turned off, it looks like the Earth floating in space.
Yeah, except it's not shaped right.
They even insert this little crescent piece of black material to make it look like the Terminator line between night and day. Now, 4 to 5 people who watch a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, who previously thought the moon landings were real, recant, largely based on this footage. I gave them the benefit of the doubt for 3.5 years into this 5-year production of this film. I said they probably did go, but maybe a 25% chance they didn't. And when I found this footage, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, it's not a theory they didn't go. It's a fact they didn't go. I've got proof of it. Proof is that a funny thing happened on the way to the moon.
Bart, and how did you get this footage?
For America.
How did you get this footage, Bart?
Well, there was a source who wishes to remain anonymous at the Johnson Space Center in Houston who put me in touch with someone who gave me this particular footage. Now, I don't know whether they were disguising it or whether originally it was an accident, but the label on the tape and the what was the content of the footage were completely different. And not only do you have this as the only, well, I can't say that. There are some other reels that I have that haven't been shown, but this is really the only publicly known so far unedited reel of footage from any of the Apollo missions. And not only do we have them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't even go halfway because they're faking, that doesn't mean they were on the rocket and went up and orbited the Earth for 8 days. At the very beginning of the tape, it's really interesting. If you give me a moment, I can cue it up and play it if you want to hear it.
All right.
Basically, you hear Houston talk to the astronauts, and they say Goldstone says the TV picture looks great. And for some reason, NASA and all their great technology isn't actually getting this footage live. And then there's dead air for 5 seconds. And I'm thinking, well, they must be preoccupied with faking a shot. Well, then you hear a voice that's not the astronaut, and it's not Houston, because they kind of have a radio EQ to them. This voice that you hear is crystal clear. It's right on top of a microphone, and it's wherever the source is being recorded. And I suspect they accidentally left the microphone on, and the astronauts were hearing it probably through an earpiece. So after Houston says the TV picture looks great, and there's 5 full seconds of dead air, you hear this third party say, talk. And then a Neil Armstrong starts speaking. Well, I first thought, well, he must not have been paying attention, someone needed to prompt him. But what in fact they were doing is they were trying to create the effect of an increased radio delay, so that if they were really halfway to the moon, 186,000 miles out, as they claimed, which is a little bit more than halfway, then it would have taken about 2.5 seconds through the old equipment and the distance for the radio signal to reach there, another 2.5 to get back. That's why they had them wait 5 seconds. So the person was counting off with a stopwatch for them, 1,001, 1,002, 3, 4, 5, and then they said, talk. They're trying to create a radio delay to make it appear that they're further away from the Earth than they really were. Because, in fact, they were in Earth orbit some, 100 to 200 miles above the Earth, which would have been a very fast transmission there and back.
Yeah. Do you have that queued up?
Give me a moment, and yeah. I'll queue it up, and you can ask me another question, and I'll get that audio ready.
Okay. Well, now the... When this footage came to you, did it come as film or as video?
Well, what's really interesting, that's a great question, is it's actually color video footage from the first moon mission. Now, what everyone saw was this grainy black and white picture. You would think that if Gilligan's Island, went from black and white to color in 1963, surely the moon missions, with all their great technology, would be worthy of color transmission, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's almost as if, or actually if, they wanted the pictures to be fuzzy. In fact, all the journalists complained that they were forced to project the video image on a large screen TV and then film it or shoot it with a video camera off of that. And then they had to re-photograph that off of a television monitor. So by the time the television public got it, it was like fourth or fifth generation, very snowy, and all of this was done deliberately. Well, they experimented with having a high-resolution color video camera on board the spacecraft. So when I started meticulously going through all the stuff of the archives, I found color video footage from Apollo 11, and I had never seen that before. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they had a color camera? Why didn't they bring a color camera to the moon? It would have looked fabulous. Well, the fact is the still pictures were taken from a studio that was of very good quality, and the TV pictures were taken from a lower quality studio. And that's why they made the TV pictures much lower resolution. Interesting little side note, about a year and a half ago, every single TV image from every single moon mission just happened to disappear all at once from the National Archives, right as Ron Howard was going to transfer it to 70-millimeter film for an IMAX presentation. How about that? Now, I estimate these 2-inch videotape reels, all of them together, to weigh somewhere between a half a ton and 3 tons. Now, to lose that kind of material, that much of it, inside the National Archives, you know, where they keep the Declaration of Independence and other things like that that are, you know, 200 years older, I don't see how that could be done unless it was intentional.
So you think that when Ron Howard was about to transfer it to 70 millimeter for IMAX, that it was purposely absconded, and so he couldn't get his hands on it?
Well, the thing is, if Ron Howard had gotten a chance to get the footage, he would have transferred it, TV images, at something like 400 to 500% higher quality than ever before been realized. Now, and then that would have been projected on the largest screen of any theater throughout the nation. Now, you would think if the moon landings are real, they would want that to be done, to just boast about how grand the going to the moon was. But instead, they lost to 3 tons of videotapes from the National Archives and disassembled the only machine on Earth that could have transferred these original TV images to a high-resolution format. You would think they would want to do that instead of losing this material, you see, right as Ron Howard was requesting it. I mean, if you go and see Ron Howard's latest and greatest IMAX film about the moon landings, I would say there's less than 10% of it is actual footage from the moon landings. Because there was so little footage available, he had to do reenactments. Now, that is absurd. I'm about to have this queued up. Just listen to the transmission and then listen to the word talk. As you hear, first you're going to hear Houston, and then you're going to hear Ed Air for about 5 seconds, and then you're going to hear talk, and then you're going to hear Bill Armstrong speak.
Hello, Apollo 11. Houston, Goldstone says that the TV looks great. Over.
Oddly enough, in the broadcast or the new DVD release of the segment of this footage that claims to be the latest and greatest release of footage, talk is edited. Well, it went, you know, on a coincidence, I guess. What can you do?
Okay, so are you of the opinion then that absolutely none of the Apollo astronauts went to the moon?
Yes, and here's why I know that. If your Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles per hour, my Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles per hour, right? Because they're cloned to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that they are faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. Well, deductive reasoning tells us that that's because they could not go.
Okay, we have to take a break. It's taking over, actually. Our microphones are about to go dead. We'll pick up with that when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We're back. My guest, Bart Sabrell. And Bart, I had to cut us off for the break, and you were just getting started, so let me give you the floor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was saying that all of the Apollo spacecraft was identical. So if the crew of Apollo 11 cannot leave Earth orbit, as the tape proves, because they're faking having left Earth orbit, then all the mission's equipment cannot leave Earth orbit either. So it means they faked it every single time.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate. Just because they did not does not necessarily mean they cannot, does it?
Well, they said they would go. Now, I would think that if they could really go to the moon, they wouldn't dare risk having any false pictures out there because they wouldn't want their real accomplishment to be besmirched like that. So I think it's just straightforward and simple. The reason why they faked it is because they couldn't do it. It's like the reason why a person bluffs at poker is because they don't have a good hand. That's why. So they simply could not go to the moon. I mean, it's technologically not available to go to the moon. If so, they would have done it for real. That's why we're seeing a fake shot of the Earth from outer space instead of a real shot from the Earth from outer space, because if they were really there, they just point the camera out the window and show us the real Earth rather than faking it.
Well, I understand what you're saying, I mean, let's say that a decision was made to do this completely separate from any technological ability of the spacecraft. I mean, and so they're doing it. The decision perhaps being made based on political reasons that we're not aware of or something, I don't know. But how do we know that the spacecraft is not capable of making that trip? Just because it, if we follow your scenario, just because it didn't make the trip, how do we know it cannot?
Well, I would guess that if they really could go to the moon, they would have gone to the moon, and they wouldn't have risked showing us fake pictures so we would catch them like we did. I mean, when Von Braun first outlined going to the moon before Kennedy made his goal to go to the moon, he said that it would take a rocket weighing something like 10 times the weight of the Queen Mary. He said it would be impossible to reach the moon in a single rocket. At first, you'd have to have a space station, and then up to there, you could ferry the fuel necessary to go to the moon. He also said that when you landed on the moon, you would have to immediately go into a cave. Otherwise, there would be a 50% every 24 hours of a catastrophic failure due to micrometeorites. And, of course, all this stuff is snowing down on the Earth all the time, and it burns up in the atmosphere. But the moon doesn't have any atmosphere. You take a tiny particle, even 1/100th the size of a BB, and you put that at 40,000 miles an hour, which is the velocity of these particles, that's going to go through someone's head and spacesuit and kill them. So I don't see how they could bounce around the moon for 2 or 3 days and never have one micrometeorite hit in 6 moon missions.
All right, we'll come back to that maybe. But let me throw this out now, since we're talking about that you're saying that none of these Apollo missions went to the moon. What about Apollo 13? Now, just to remind folks, this is the one where there was an explosion on the craft, and the famous line, "Houston, we have a problem." It's now been made into a movie, and according to reports at the time, as well as according to the movie, they went all the way to the moon, went around the moon, and used it kind of as a slingshot to sling them back towards Earth. So are you saying that one didn't happen either?
Of course. Let's just say that right now on TV, they're planting a flag at the South Pole for the very first time. You and I would probably take a break from our interview. We'd both be watching the TV. They plant the flag at the South Pole. We'd say, great. We'd salute them, have a drink or whatever. And then let's say 6 months from now, they're doing the same thing. You know, no offense to the, I guess, jaded American public, but we're probably not that interested the second time that they do it. And that's exactly what happened when Apollo 12 allegedly went back to the moon. People were telephoning the network complaining that reruns of Isle of Lucy were being interrupted. So what a coincidence that the very next mission, and this is the audacity of the people, Apollo 13, of course 13 is an unlucky number, right? Apollo 13 at 13:13 military time on April 13th has this bad luck. I mean, that is really amazing coincidence. And so the whole public, you know, ends up believing that they're in jeopardy, and that adds this drama and life and death to the mission so that they'll have more interest in the next transmission. They faked Apollo 13 alleged tragedy, just like they faked the alleged moonwalk. And that's why it's probably the most despicable of all the moon missions. They had the whole nation praying for them when they were in Earth orbit eating tuna fish sandwiches. You know, the whole thing was contrived to get people into watching the space program and watching each moon mission after each moon mission so that they could cash in on it. I mean, they reported on national news that a plastic ice cube tray in Iraq that cost you 50 cents at Walmart cost $20 in Iraq. Now, no one seems to care. I mean, does a plastic ice cube tray really cost $20? So obviously this money is being misallocated somewhere. And that's exactly what the moon missions were. You have to remember Tricky Dick Nixon was president at the time. And it's because Contra-Aid was the first time a president got caught misallocating money in recent history. It doesn't mean it's the first time it happened. It's like when someone's pulled over for speeding, it's not the first time they sped, more than likely. It's probably the 100th time they sped, and they just got caught. This stuff has been going on for a long time. It's all about the money. It's got to follow the money. This involved hundreds of billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars to the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about the last day he was president of the United States. He said, look out. There should not be a war machine in place spending all of this money when there's not a war. And that's exactly what the Apollo program was.
Okay. Let me play the devil's advocate once again on another subject. There are hundreds of pounds of moon rocks, lunar rocks and soil, that were allegedly returned to the Earth from the moon. These have been examined and studied by loads and loads of scientists and geologists from all over the world, including countries that are not friendly to the United States. And none of them has yet ever said, as far as I know, that these are not lunar rocks.
Well, they may very well be lunar rocks, and there's a couple of ways of getting them. One is you could send an unmanned probe to the moon and retrieve them that way. Or there's an even easier way. For some reason, when they were under this great pressure to go to the moon for the very first time, Von Braun, director of the program, took a holiday in Antarctica and collected hundreds of pounds of lunar meteorites. What a coincidence.
All right, tell us about this. Werner von Braun went to Antarctica?
Antarctica prior to the moon missions to retrieve lunar meteorites.
And what was the official reason given for why he was retrieving these meteorites?
I don't think there was an official reason given. I think it was just an obscure news report, and they didn't say much about it. If I were them, I would have said something like, well, you want to get the right size bags, or I don't know what you come up with. But, you know, they come up with some excuse for everything, and I'm sure there was an excuse for that one. The fact is, if the guy's really going to the moon for the first time, you don't have time to go off on a holiday to Antarctica to collect moon rocks. You know, you're really focusing on the real moon rocks you got to get, because these guys' lives are in jeopardy.
All right, now
send somebody else down to do something like that. I don't even think sending an underling would be worthy of the time.
Isn't it true that Werner von Braun died before the moon landing?
No, it's not true.
When did he die?
He died in the 1970s. I have a shot of him with his binoculars up watching Apollo 11 get off the ground.
Okay.
Unless double or something, which I doubt that. But he was there. But oddly enough, the expression on the guy's face, he didn't look all that happy to me. You know, if you look at the expressions on the men's faces as they're suiting up to launch, they don't look happy. And if you look at their expressions on their faces during the actual one and only press conference they gave together as a trio, allegedly after returning from the moon, they look like they're at a funeral for an hour. It seems to me if you went all the way to the moon back and survived and got to see your wife and family again, you could not wipe the smile off their faces. But they hardly smile at all, if ever. They look very depressed, very discouraged, and oddly enough, have slightly hidden teleprompters there in their desk to help them remember what it was like to walk on the moon for some reason.
All right, now when you did this movie, Moon, it's called the Moon, it's moonmovie.com, and it's called... what's the name of the... It slips my mind. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Sorry, I'm getting old. Sometimes we get stuck in second gear here.
Sorry.
Okay, now it took you 5 years to do this, right?
That's correct.
During that 5 years, you were digging into the information and researching information. Did you come across any information about, because I've heard this, I just don't know if it's true, did you come across any information about at the end of the Apollo program, all of the blueprints for the Saturn V rocket were picked up, all the pieces and parts were collected, and there was nothing left even with any of the contractors?
Well, I heard the very same thing, and to my knowledge, that is true. Oddly enough, they say the following. When you ask for blueprints of the lunar module in particular, it's not classified. It's just not available. Isn't that grand? You know, my anonymous friend who works at the aerospace company says many interesting things about the lunar module. Number one, it seems really implausible to him that it could power air conditioning, you know, for a day and then eventually 3 days against 250 degrees Fahrenheit and get it down to the arrogantly perfect 72 degrees off of a bank of car batteries. I mean, you got to imagine taking a Cadillac or something out to the desert and parking it there, turning off the engine, turning on the air conditioner, and see how long that thing's going to work. You know, and that's against 110 degrees, not against 250 degrees. So then to claim that off basically, you know, liquid cell batteries got the lunar module down 72 degrees, competing against 250 degrees, and kept it that way, you know, day after day, is just ludicrous. You know, and I think that's why the blueprint accidentally, on purpose, disappeared, because eventually someone would, you know, would check with that, and that just isn't plausible. The great thing is they have this catch-all excuse. No matter what doesn't make sense, like I talked to one astronaut, Alan Bean, I asked him, you know, was it loud while you descended to the lunar surface doing the lunar module? And he said, no, it was quiet. And here's the great one. Everything they can't explain, they say this. It's the vacuum of space, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why things aren't normal. But then I asked Eugene Cernan, was it loud when you descended to the lunar surface? He says, oh, yeah, it's very loud. You know, they're using the same equipment. I don't know why one mission, the exact same engine, would be completely silent, and another mission, the exact same engine, would be completely loud. In fact, Alan Bean told me, and it's on camera, in Astronauts Gone Wild, that he did not go through the Van Allen radiation belt. Now, he accidentally, I think, told the truth there. You know, the radiation belt is this field of radiation about 1,000 miles up and 25,000 miles thick that protects life on Earth from galactic and solar radiation. But it itself is the collector of that material and therefore would be very lethal if you went through it. Now, all the manned missions, Gemini, Mercury, Skylab, the space shuttle, are all well below that radiation. The only time a human from anywhere on Earth has claimed to have gone through it would be to the moon and back. Now, when I asked him about that, he said, oh, we didn't go through it. And I'm like, oh, for telling me. You know, technology does not go backwards. You have to understand that no nation on Earth in nearly four decades has claimed to put a man past Earth orbit, much less on the moon. You have to understand that space shuttle only goes about 200 miles above the Earth. So,
all right, I hate to break in, but we have a break that's taking over, and again, our mics will go dead. But we'll get back to Alan Bean and the radiation belt in just a moment. Don't go away, folks. On the other side of this break, more interesting stuff. Did we go to the moon? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Bart Sabrell. And let me make a very quick announcement before we bring him back on the air. All the music that you hear on this show is from independent artists. All of it. And most of this music you can find at garageband.com or music.podshow.com. And just go over there and fill your iPod up. I mean, it's free. But Some of the music you hear is sent directly to me by the independent artist, and if you are an independent artist, I invite you to do the same. If you've got some music that is free to air, you can send it to me, and if it's good quality stuff, we'll put it on the air. All right, let's go back to my guest, and we were talking about Alan Bean and this Van Allen radiation belt. Bart, Alan Bean said, "I never went through it." Did he ever come back and try to correct that?
He did, in kind of an odd way. The space shuttle went up to 365 miles, I think back in 1994. It was the highest altitude they had ever flown. Now, that's about, I guess, 635 miles below the beginning of the radiation belt. And from that distance away, it was so radioactive. You can imagine something so radioactive that from 600 miles away, it affects you. With their shielding of the spacecraft, with the shielding of their spacesuits, and with their eyes closed, they could see the radiation as fireworks hitting the sparks of the retinas of their closed eyes. And because of that, the space shuttle ascended to a lower altitude. Now, CNN reported the following, and I'm going to quote it word for word. "The radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed." Now, the astronauts went through the radiation belt allegedly 12 times, 6 times to the moon and 6 times back from the moon. So the crew of astronauts that were in the field of radiation for about 12 hours knows less about the radiation belt than the people who were 600 miles away from it. Because remember, CNN reported that it's more dangerous than previously believed. Well, previously believed was when they went to the moon and back. So how can people only 600 miles away from it know more about it than people who are actually in the field of radiation for a total of 12 hours? You see? That doesn't make sense. Unless, of course, the people who claim to have been in the radiation belt never were there in the first place, and maybe that's why CNN reported that it was more dangerous than previously believed.
Okay, but how did Alan Bean try to retrieve his statement and repair it?
Well, the best way to hear it in its entirety, just go to moonmovie.com and rent Astronauts or buy Astronauts Gone Wild. And basically, I pointed out to him that the Apollo astronauts, well, actually I asked him kind of, if you'll forgive my journalistic methods, I kind of asked him if he had any strange phenomenon that happened to him when he was going through the belts, knowing about the little spark of light thing that happened to the space shuttle astronauts when they got near it. And he said, "No, nothing special happened." I said, "Okay. You know, the space shuttle astronauts reported that when they got near it, they saw the sparks of light." So he said, "Oh, yeah, we saw that." And I'm like, "Okay, well, they were the ones who reported it first." You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then he just starts backpedaling and talking around it and sweating. And that was, you know, all that on camera. I mean, so is Buzz Aldrin's admission that I'm right and that I'm going to become famous if the truth comes out about this. I mean, this is all on videotape, and you can get it at moonmovie.com. Get it on DVD. You can get the whole set. You can see this footage that I'm talking about that shows them faking being halfway to the moon. I mean, I wish all this stuff, Kevin, I wish it weren't true. Believe me, my life would be a lot better if all this was not true. The fact it is true. The fact is, it's not a theory that they didn't go to the moon. It's a fact. That's just the way that it is. You have to ask yourself, is mankind that depraved that it would do such a thing? Is a government that corrupt that it would do such a thing? Because between you and me, if I had to vote like the T-shirt between our federal government and aliens from outer space who like to eat people, I think I might go with the aliens.
Well, I don't know if I would do that. That's kind of going kind of far, but you're making some interesting points here and some good points. But let me ask you this now. Now that, you know, based on what Buzz Aldrin said to you, that if all this comes out, you're going to be famous. Okay, it's out now. The movie's out, and Astronauts Gone Wild is out. So, and you just said something interesting. You said your life would be a lot better if this wasn't true. Have there been harassment and threats against you?
Well, let me give you the latest one. It wasn't that long ago. After all, it's been about 15 minutes. Let's see. There's a gentleman by the name of Clyde, O-I-S-H-I. His email address is CAOISHI2000@yahoo.com. He says, the 1969 moon landing was not fake, so get over yourself, fool. The five subsequent landings that followed were also true. Go kill yourself, you expletive.
Okay. Now, well, that's from the general public. What about from the government or from NASA?
Well, that would be too direct. You know, the fact is the truth is not out, because right now only 15% of the American public are aware, according to a Knight Ridder poll, that the moon landings are fraudulent. And in the encyclopedia, I don't know if that's when it hits 51% or what, then the truth is out. You know, the fact is, the executive producer made a promise not to say the following, but I did not make that promise, which is that the BBC bought A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and 3 days before it was supposed to air, they canceled it. Now, this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon would have aired in an English-speaking country. And it is not favorable footage. Like I said, 4 out of 5 people who previously thought the moon landings were real reversed their opinion, largely after watching this footage. I have a reporter from the Washington Post who looked at this footage, and he said he cannot explain it. Now, this is a skeptical guy at the Washington Post saying he cannot explain this footage. I find it does not make sense to him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we only have to prove that one ingredient in the kitchen is poisonous to prove that the whole kitchen isn't trustworthy to eat in. And we only have to prove that one photograph or one piece of footage from the moon mission is fake to prove it all footage. Because believe me, if they really went to the moon, they wouldn't dare fake any of it. Because if they got caught faking 1% of it, then they would be accused of all of it being fake. They wouldn't take that chance. The fact is, the crew of Apollo 11 did not go to the moon. It's very simple. And the fact is that the American public is predisposed to not believe that. It's like me telling you, Kevin, that your mom killed 3 people before you were born. You're like, not my mom. She baked me cookies and took me to school, and she said, I love you. How could you see, no matter what I say, no matter what evidence I present, you're predisposed not to believe me. And that's what I'm up against and what other people who are speaking the truth are up against. But history proves us right. I mean, throughout history, the minority seems to have been right 100% of the time. I mean, the minority or the majority of people killed the Son of God. I mean, you have the majority of people who thought the world was flat when it was round, and you have the majority of people thinking that the moon landings are real when they're not. I mean, welcome to real life.
All right, now, let's just take everything that you have put in the movie, everything that you know that you didn't put in the movie, everything you may have ever written about this, and everything that you have said on radio and TV interviews about this, put it all in one big package. Have you ever backed away from it and asked yourself, is it even slightly possible that I've misinterpreted something here? Is it possible that I'm wrong about this? Have you done that?
Absolutely. And I wish it were true. You know what I mean? It would be a better world. But the fact is, you know, horrific things are going on in the world, and the moon landing being fake is not the worst. The moon landings are definitely a forgery. That's just life in the big city. And I wish it weren't true, but it is true. And I've looked at the footage over and over and over again. This is my forte. You know, I've been asked to testify in court as to the authenticity of footage, and this is absolutely the real deal. I cannot fake Neil Armstrong's 30, 40-year younger face in zero gravity. I can't do that. And that's him on camera. It's time-stamped by NASA's own clock, which is tied in with the, you know, clock at WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado. It's an atomic clock. I think NASA knows what time it is. And at the beginning of the reel, that it's 2.5 days after they left for the Earth, and our unedited version proves that they're still in Earth orbit 2.5 days later. It's kind of hard to walk on the moon, and less than 12 hours later, you're in Earth orbit, right? You see how this doesn't make any sense? And people, you know, always say, well, how could you convince 100,000 people involved in the moon mission that all of this was fake? Well, the thing is, they're right. You can't. So you don't tell them. It's on a need-to-know basis. The fact is, once they went up into Earth orbit, there were only 3 eyewitnesses every moon mission and a TV picture controlled by the federal government.
All right, we have a break coming up, and it's just about to take over. And when we come back, we'll get into some more of this, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. So you out in around the world can call in and talk with Bart, ask you questions, make you comments. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and in just a moment we'll open up the telephone lines so all of you listening around the world can call in and talk with our guest. I know this is a topic, a hot topic. It is a topic for which there is a very high level of interest. I know that because of the email you send me all the time. Now, for those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, welcome. We're glad you're here. Boy, did you miss a fantastic first hour, and you should hang your head in shame. Oh. Fortunately, here at the Kevin Smith Show, you will be able to hear the whole thing again because we put it up as the latest show on our website. All right, let's go back to our guest. And Bart, I want to go back and revisit this just a little bit. I ask you if you take everything you know about this, wrap it up in a package, and then back away from it, had you ever done that and asked yourself, is there the possibility that I'm wrong? Now, a follow-up question to that. Was there ever any point, any time, at any point in time, when you backed up, took a look at it, considered whether you might be wrong, was there ever a little flash that said, yeah, I think I'm wrong? Or has it been rock solid from the start that you're absolutely certain?
Well, I started off thinking that we went to the moon as a child, and I thought that into my teens. And like I said, I had a wall of pictures of the moon landing up, and I certainly thought the moon landings were real. And beyond that, I thought it was the greatest thing mankind has ever done. I thought it was fantastic. And I looked at these pictures day after day after day, year after year, of the astronauts on the moon, although oddly enough, there's not a single picture actually of Neil Armstrong himself on the moon. But then I met a gentleman who worked for Rocketdyne who said they were fake, and I thought he was wrong. Then I started working as a journalist for an NBC affiliate and finding out strange things about the moon missions. Still thought I was right and they were wrong about them being real. And finally, I decided to go ahead and produce the film A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and see if, you know, it might possibly remotely be true. You know, might as well look into it, keep an open mind. And stumbled upon this footage 3.5 years later of them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. I mean, if you saw O.J. Simpson killing his wife on camera, I mean, what can you do except admit that he did it? And if you see Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins and Buzz Aldrin faking a shot dated 2 days after they left to being halfway to the moon, I mean, what can you do if you really open-minded and are seeking the truth except admit they didn't go to the moon? I mean, it's a sad, sad thing to admit that it's true, but it happened. And the American public has been deceived. They are continued to be deceived about it, and they have this emotional tie-in of pride clouding their ability to see the truth that they didn't go to the moon, that they could not go to the moon. I mean, one thing you have to understand is Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1928. Do you think it'd be 50 years before any nation on Earth could repeat the event? I mean, it was weeks later before someone else flew across the Atlantic in an airplane. When the sound barrier was broken, it was weeks later before someone else broke the sound barrier. And when a man went up into space, it was weeks later before another man went up into space. But the only people on Earth who claim they can even return to the moon are the same ones who claim they've done it in the first place, and they can't do it for a half a century later. Technology does not go backwards unless the moon landings are real. And for the first time in world history, technology has gone backwards.
It would seem to me, I've worked in I've worked overseas in quite a number of countries, and am always very aware when I am being watched by their various security apparatus. And it would seem to me that nations not particularly friendly to us, for instance, at that time, the Soviet Union, China. Look, the Soviet Union, East Germany, China, particularly those, had tremendous ability in terms of gathering intelligence. And, I mean, you know, there are stories about KGB infiltrators, even in our atomic bomb program in World War II, and information was getting to the Soviet Union right out of our atomic bomb program. So it would seem to me that these intelligence agencies would have known for sure that all of this moon stuff was a fake, if it was fake. Did you find out anything in your research about what they knew and where they stood with this?
Well, I have my suspicions. You know the old saying, don't jump to conclusions. And, you know, the first one attacks you fool so many people, and, of course, you realize, you know, there's three eyewitnesses and a TV picture controlled by the government. And the second one is, surely the Israelites, Soviets, the Chinese would have found out that it was fake and blurted it out to the world. Well, the first part of that, I believe, is true. They would have eventually found out because they got good spies. But the second part may not be true. I mean, let's just say that you had a picture of President Clinton while he was in office with a prostitute. Now, you could just give that away to the media and he would get out of office, the whole thing would be over. Or you could blackmail him. Year after year, year after year, 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. And that's what I believe these other countries are doing. I mean, we do kind of act kind of oddly to certain nations on Earth. We seem to bend over backwards for certain nations that don't necessarily are really doing the right thing for us or other people. Seems kind of odd to me. Seems like somebody is holding something over our head. That's another good reason for the truth to come out. Because if it comes out, the United States won't have to submit to blackmail anymore.
Well, that's true. You can't blackmail a person who will admit everything they did.
How about that? Maybe that's why Jesus said the truth will set you free.
Well, what would it do for America's status in the world if this came out? Would it destroy us? Would it, when I say came out, if the government or NASA or both said, okay, here's the deal. We didn't really go to the moon. Now, if they did that, what would this do to the status of the nation with all the other nations of the world? Would this not destroy our ability to deal with other nations?
Well, first of all, someone very profound said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And secondly, another smart guy said imagination is more important than knowledge. So I just try to imagine what would happen. Imagine right now we're turning on the TV, your producer's tapping you on the shoulder, and there's Neil Armstrong crying, saying, I'm sorry, the moon landings are fake. In my opinion, that would restore faith in the government. You know, if someone had the guts in a marriage to come forward and tell the truth about adultery, you could say they can't be trusted, but I think the right way of looking at that is to say they can now be trusted. You know, the federal government has lied about the moon landings. Now, when someone robs a bank and gets $1 million, you know what they do next? They rob another bank and get $2 million. And then they're emboldened to rob another and get $4 million. See, the truth about the moon landings must come out. If it doesn't, the federal government is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, it's my opinion, and I can tell you most of why I believe so, that the truth is going to come out in the very near future, and that there are people in high places who are working at this hour to make that happen because they believe in God, and they believe it is wrong to lie, and they want the government to be reformed. Now, there are a lot of people out there who think the government needs to be reformed. I mean, a democracy is supposed to be the majority ruling, not the minority. And if we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, you better believe it. If we took a vote on whether or not we should fake the moon landings, I don't think many people would have voted for that. So what that means is that our government is being controlled by a minority, and I know most people with their eyes open are in agreement with that.
All right, I want to come back to the question I asked before the break then. With those views, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but with those views and with the information that you are putting out about the moon landings being faked, have you been targeted for harassment by the government?
They don't need to do that. I'm being harassed enough by my friends and family. you know, that would be just proving me right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're smart enough not to do anything like that. I'm in, and I'm sure you've been there before, in the conspiracy nut box. And that works actually pretty well for them. You know, they've got most of America wrapped around their finger in their back hip pocket or whatever you want to call it. And they like it that way, and the odds are in their favor that it's going to stay that way. You know, we're just a little mosquito flying around, and they don't even have the time to spot us. And they don't have to, because there ain't much a mosquito can do to you, really. On the other hand, if there is a God, and if justice does prevail, then they're in load for a world of trouble in the very near future. And I believe very strongly that that is coming down the pike.
All right. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the telephone lines and allow people to give us a call. And because of the T-shirt that I happen to be wearing, it's a little bit difficult for people to see the telephone number. The lettering on my T-shirt is interfering with the numbers that are on your screen. So let me read you the telephone numbers, folks. If you have a question or if you have a comment for Bart about the moon landings and about his work in his research and his movies in bringing out the information that he's bringing out, doesn't matter. You may agree, you may disagree. Don't be ugly either way. 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, or toll free at 1-888-223-4599. If you happen to live outside of the United States or outside of Canada, and a great many of you who listen to this show do live around the world, you don't want to make that long-distance call and pay that international long-distance fee, just go to my website and scroll down. You will see right under Bart's picture, you'll see a link that says Flash Message, and it's in green. Click that. And send me a flash message. I'll read it, and then we'll get Bart to comment on it. So you can send a question or a comment, same as if you were calling in. Again, the telephone number's 602-539-9580 or toll-free at 1-888-223-4599. The telephone lines are open. Bart, have you had any trepidation, any fear attendant with this research and production of the movies?
Yes, I have.
Why?
Even though I believe that we should not fear, I get sucked into it from time to time. Certainly when I first found this video footage, I was extremely fearful. I mean, there are African Americans who said it, you know, to themselves very confidently, we will not have an African-American president in my lifetime. Well, fortunately, they were proven wrong. And when I started working on this project, before I even knew the truth, I said, well, the truth will never come out in my lifetime. Well, I was wrong about that. I found proof, had it in my house, popped it in the Betacam machine, queued it up on the Sony monitor. Those aren't plugs, by the way, although Sony's a pretty great company. I want to say hey to my friends in Tokyo. And then there it is, this footage that I speak of that you can see at moonmovie.com, and I'm looking at it, and I'm hearing that third party prompting them when to speak, and I'm watching them fake a shot of being halfway to the moon, and then suddenly it dawns on me that we really didn't go to the moon, that it's not a theory, that it's a fact. After I wept the tears out of my eyes, after, you know, my heart sank, after I said, oh my God, about 100 times in a minute, then I started thinking, what have I gotten myself into? I have a blind roommate. I've got a toddler son. I've taken no precautions whatsoever for my security because I assumed the truth would never come out and I'd never have any solid proof of it. yes, you better believe I started fearing for my life when you have proof that the moon landings are fake in your house. I'm start thinking, oh my God, what have I done? You know, you can imagine. And recently, when I got word that the truth might be coming out in the near future, you know, I started panicking again, and it's been difficult. But, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm praying, reading my Bible, talking to my friends. And, you know, half of them think I'm crazy. Half of them think I need to be safe. So.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
I was, for the guest, how confident are you, and what makes you think that, they're gonna reveal, or that you said previously that you think that the truth about the moon landing is going to come out? What makes you think that? Have you heard from any sources or anything that from people in high places that you said that you talked to that? We've been hearing for years and years and years that we're going to find out the truth of...
All right, well, let's find out. What do you think, Bart? Have you heard from people in high places that this disclosure is going to happen?
Pretty much. What we've done, because we have this amazing gentleman who smartly wishes to remain anonymous, I wish I had that ability... He is influential, and money doesn't talk, like Bob Dylan says, it screams. And with that backing of this great patriot, we have been able to get access to certain people. And during the course of my travels, I have been to various places, and sometimes I discreetly meet with people under the radar. And I think it's no secret if you broadcast this, I think the other team already knows. So basically, I know somebody who knows Obama. And a mutual associate has informed me as of January 17th that the gentleman who's president, watched a funny thing happen on the way to the moon. Now, I first started celebrating about that, and then I realized, what does this mean? Obama watched the funny thing happen on the way to the moon on January 17th, 3 days before he's sworn in to be president of the United States. What does that mean? You can use your own deductive reasoning. You can research his background, what church he went to, and things like that, and see what you think the guy is going to do with that information. Now, I hope he makes an announcement soon. I think the longer that he waits, the more dangerous it will be for him. I got a document, and I don't think it's secret to the other team any longer, just 4 weeks ago. And that document was a photostatic copy of a government, you know, blueprint from 1962 talking about faking pictures coming from the moon transmissions. Now, I'm the alleged expert on the moon landings being fake, and my best guess was they started thinking about faking it no earlier than 1966. Well, 30 days ago, I was proven wrong. They were talking about faking the moon landing pictures in 1962 when Kennedy was president. Now, Kennedy was killed for some reason. And any time the assassin is assassinated, something's not right with this picture. Now, my best guess up to this point had been it was, and I don't know how many of your listeners have heard about the Federal Reserve, and Kennedy was going to take them off the Federal Reserve, and the billionaires were going to lose so many millions and 1% or 2% interest on trillions or whatever that is. But now we have another possible reason why the guy was killed. He was not a scientist. He was a visionary. And probably without consulting too many people, he just blurted out, let's go to the moon before the end of the decade. Later, I'm sure von Braun informed him of the problem with having to build a space station first, which, according to NASA, isn't even finished yet. Then, you know, things went wrong. And that's why, after I got over my excitement that Obama had watched a funny thing happen in the way to the moon, that, you know, maybe that wasn't such a good thing.
Could be a little dangerous.
The guy's got a wife and kids and has the right to live like the rest of us. I think he's a sincere person. I think he wants to do what is right. And I think throughout history, people who want to do what is right often don't live very long. So I hope it'll be okay. I hope the truth comes out. And we'll see what happens.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, I don't know what just happened there. So,
tell him not to speak to me in that tone of voice.
Let's try this again. Here we go. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right, we will dismiss that one and go to this one. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and from where are you calling?
Daniel from Queens.
Yes, Daniel.
Kevin. Yes, first time caller.
Oh, well, you know what we do for first-time callers. You have to get some applause for that. Here we go.
I just want to say my wife is not thrilled with your program. She's not impressed with it, but I definitely am.
Well, you know, my show's not for everybody.
Yes. I wanted to ask your guest. I have heard, it's very interesting what you said about the radiation belt. I've never heard of that. Sounds very interesting. Does he believe now that we've gone to the moon? Or
okay, let's find out. Hang on just one moment.
Claiming that we've gone to the moon because we have crafts that go up there.
All right, hang on just a moment. Let's find out. What do you say about that, Bart?
Well, there's some people who believe that there was another crew that went to the moon, or we've gone to the moon since, or something like that. I think it's just simple that we don't have that technology. They are faking being halfway to the moon because they can't go halfway to the moon. They cannot leave Earth orbit. That is because of the Van Allen radiation belt, and I think your guest was humility in admitting that he never heard of it is pretty much a common sample of Americans and people around the world. Very few people have heard of the Van Allen radiation belt. The gentleman who so humbly named it after himself discovered it in the late 50s. It's this field of 25,000 miles thick of radiation that doesn't start until about 1,000 miles up. So that means you can orbit the Earth and be fairly safe, but to go to the moon, you would have to go through it. The only time in human history anyone has claimed to have gone through it would be to the moon and back. And to say that they can't repeat this event that seems so easy, you know, four decades ago, is kind of preposterous. I mean, if you had a one-foot globe across, the space shuttle only goes less than a half an inch above that globe. But the moon is 30 globes away. So you have to wonder why, with today's technology, the space shuttle has killed 14 people only orbiting 200 miles above the Earth. And yet, with four decades older technology, they went 100,000% farther six times and never killed anybody, with less computing power than in my Walmart watch. I mean, that just does not make sense.
So you believe that when these astronauts are shot up into space, they're actually just shot up and then rerouted somewhere else. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in the case of Apollo, they were orbiting the moon. I mean, orbiting the Earth instead of orbiting the moon. They just never left Earth orbit. That way they could go up in front of eyewitnesses, splash down in front of eyewitnesses, and have real zero-gravity footage. Now, one thing for the public to consider about the current space shuttle seems kind of odd to me, that the space shuttle would take 3 days to link up with the International Space Station. Seems to me they might be doing some other things during that three-day period, like possibly building another space station or a couple other space stations or putting weapons in space or telescopes in space or satellites in space. Seems really odd. You know, a magician uses misdirection, and during the launch of the space shuttle, you have these great rockets going off with this big orange flame of kerosene, but very few people are looking at the engine of the space shuttle itself. And if you look at the burn of the space shuttle itself, it has a very, very odd burn. It's extremely consistent. And I'm not sure what kind of engine it is, but it's one I've never seen before.
And all right, we're into a break, and we'll have to hold up right there until we come back. And let me say to the caller that's on hold, the second caller on hold, hang in there. We'll be back. Thank you. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And let's see if we can bring our caller back up online. Caller, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Did he answer your question?
Yeah. He's excellent. Knows his facts. I could see he knows his facts very well. I'm very impressed with the guest speaker. I know you've had guest speakers that have said that we have technology, alien technology, and I forget the person's name who said that they've seen us go up to the moon, that we can go there in like 20 minutes or a half an hour with the alien spacecraft. What do you say about that?
Let's see. There we go.
Believe it or not, my philosophy is show me one little green man and I'll believe. I think there's a lot of misdirection going on with aliens from outer space. I think they're using that to send us down the conspiracy path when something else is actually going on. And I think they love us to go down that path and they love to mislead the intellectual community. I have no doubt that the technology that the government has is more advanced. I found that out 30 days ago. Also with this document that I spoke of that shows them talking about faking the TV pictures from the moon in 1962, I also got a videotape from the same anonymous source who showed me that they had nonlinear editing in 1969. Now, I'm a professional filmmaker. I got nonlinear editing in 1999. So we know that the government has technology that is at least 30 years more advanced than what we have now. And that is a heartbreaking fact. Because there are many things that could benefit mankind. You know, I was recently at an automobile museum here in Nashville, Tennessee, called the Lane Motor Museum. Beautiful museum with some really beautifully aerodynamic cars from the 1930s. Rounded fenders, rounded hoods, rounded trunks. And they have these plaques in front of these 100 beautiful cars that list the engine size, the year they were made, the people who made them, how fast they could go. But there's one fact missing from all of the cars that seems extremely relevant. Guess what that is? It's their miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these cars probably get the exact same miles per gallon as the cars do today, and they weigh about twice as much. So something's going on here. I mean, if people are out there faking the moon landing, then they're faking other stuff too and just, you know, laughing all the way to the bank about it. If they have technology that can do nonlinear editing in 1969, then they've got medical technology that is 30 years advanced. Now, nothing happens by accident. My cell phone didn't just, you know, suddenly become a cell phone from a rock. I mean, it was made that way for a particular reason. And there are very odd and strange things going on in America. One thing you can just consider, why is everyone getting so fat all of a sudden? Why are we constantly bombarded with all this advertisement enticing us to be overweight? And then you got the medical drug manufacturers giving us the drugs to lose the weight. You know, something really bizarre is going on. And, you know.
Yeah, I've got a little personal testimony about that, and I will tell it in just a moment. I'll make a note to do that. Let me see if this caller is still with us. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
I was wondering, between that guy that hacked into NASA to try and find the information and compared to an insider that lets out information, how big a difference do you think that is? I mean, compared.
Okay, so if you compare a whistleblower from inside of NASA to Gary McKinnon, who hacked into NASA computers, which one is the more serious violation, I guess, is the way to put it. What do you think, Bart?
Well, you got to really weigh it out, because in the spy business, there's spies, there's double agents, there's triple agents, there's quadruple agents. There's information, misinformation. I mean, the press corps is pathetic. They think that when they talk to somebody at the White House who's, you know, assistant secretary of whatever, and they tell them that what you know this is going to happen, they just never even consider the fact that maybe they want them to think that, and maybe they want the public to think that. They go on the air like, look who told me here. I have an anonymous source at the White House who's the undersecretary of whatever who told me this, without even considering the fact that they were told that deliberately so that they could be used with sincerity to mislead the public. So you got to be really careful when you look into an alleged whistleblower and an alleged conspiracy leak, that that isn't exactly what the government wants you to think.
Okay, Terry, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess this, when you got a public, supposedly a public institution that's supposed to be squaring up with the people, I know there is some things they can't say, but, you know, when you got to take matters in your own hands to find out what's going on, I mean, are you really doing something wrong or not? So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone number is open and awaiting your question, your comment. What do you think, folks? I mean, you're hearing Bart. You're hearing him give this information and talk about the evidence that he's run across and that has come to him, stating that we did not ever go to the moon. What do you think about that? Do you think he's making the case? Do you think the evidence stands? I think one of the most interesting bits of evidence, though, Bart, is the reaction of the astronauts when you ask them to swear on the Bible. Swear on the Bible that you stood on the moon. And I forget who it is, but there was one that I saw a video of this where you said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $5,000 cash money right now if you'll just swear on this Bible that you stood on the moon. Who was that?
That was Neil Armstrong. Yeah, you know, the funny thing about Neil Armstrong is the first thing is that there's not a single still picture of the astronaut Neil Armstrong as the first man to walk on the moon. Not a single one. Even the people at NASA archives are completely perplexed by this. It's as if the guy did not want his picture taken fraudulently on the surface of the moon. Well, I've been to his house. I've talked to him, let's just say, on and off the record. And on the record, maybe that wasn't the best way of going about it, now that I think about it, but in any case, I tracked him down, and I offered him $5,000 to take 5 seconds to say, I swear to God that I walked on the moon and put his hand on the Bible and swear so. I told him he could give it to his favorite charity or go to Hawaii on me. The guy started shaking like a leaf and refused to do it. Now, again, if I walked on the moon and someone else thought otherwise, I would think they needed psychiatric help. And I would say, sure, I'll swear in the Bible. You okay? You want me to do it again? You want me to write it down? You know, but...
Yeah, now give me the $5,000.
I'm sorry?
I would say, yeah, I'll do it. Now give me the $5,000.
But the guy's obviously interested in money. He's the token, you know, director of a board of a, you know, weapons company because he allegedly walked on the moon. You think the guy would be interested in money. But the guy did not want to go on camera historically making a record of what could be a video deposition of swearing to something that is not true. You know, in the 40 years that he has walked on the moon, aside from the press conference, I can't think of a single time he's given a one-on-one interview. I mean, he hasn't given Barbara Walters an interview, Walter Cronkite, CNN, NBC, Time Magazine, Life, anything since he allegedly walked on the moon. In fact, two of the three astronauts on the first crew to the moon refused to ever be interviewed on the subject. That seems kind of odd to me. You'd think they'd at least want to contribute a little to society and say, hey, you know, here's what it's like, go to schools or something like that. The only time that I've got on record that Neil Armstrong spoke was about 15 years ago on the 25th anniversary of the moon landing. Now, if you go to moonmovie.com and get A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, the moon concludes with him saying the following: perhaps someday you'll be able to remove one of truth's protective layers. That's what the guy said with tears welling up in his eyes. Now, you can interpret that any way you want, But it seems to me the guy is crying out to say there's something not truthful about the moon landings, that perhaps someday the truth will come out, but it won't be through him.
I sort of asked this earlier. I want to ask it sort of in a different way. I want to come at this from a different angle. How are we better by knowing that we didn't go to the moon?
Well, if your spouse is cheating on you, would you want to know? You see, the American government is cheating on the American public. Now, the moon landing, unfortunately, may not be the biggest conspiracy going on, but it's certainly the most symbolic conspiracy that they've done. And it's not something they lied about 40 years ago. It's something they're lying about right now. Right now, the federal government claims they put a man on the moon when they did not. Now, when someone gets away with a crime, like I was saying earlier, robbing a bank or whatever, they're just emboldened to keep doing it. Now, if we want the federal government to be reformed, we're going to have to expose how corrupt the federal government is. Otherwise, there's no motivation to reform it. And if Obama wants to do what is right and wants to go down in history as one of the greatest presidents, which I think he has the potential to do, then he's going to have to clean house, and the sooner he does it, the better. Now, when you pop a boil, you know, it's not pretty, but there is relief, and it's better than having the limb amputated, and that's what we have to do. The federal government has gotten out of control. It is being controlled by a minority of billionaires, and that is wrong. And the public has just fallen asleep and been doped into this misdirection of thinking the enemy is somewhere over on the other side of the ocean. Our founding fathers had enough sense to warn us that there are two kinds of enemies of the nation, two kinds, foreign and domestic. When was the last time that we thought about domestic, you know, crimes in the government? You know, there are people with American citizenship who are in the government who are enemies of this country. Half of them are there, and we're doing nothing whatsoever about it. I mean, if half the food in the pantry was poisonous, you know, would you just ignore it?
So you're saying that the evidence about the moon that you're presenting is not isolated, but that this practice is sort of widespread through the government. Therefore, this I think you said this moon landing story is symbolic.
It is.
Highly symbolic. All right, we have a flash message from Norway. This is from, let me see, Bjarne in Norway. Bjarne says, I do believe we went to the moon, and I have heard that when we landed, the craters were teeming with extraterrestrial crafts and warned us off the moon. We started developing and testing nuclear weapons and going into space at the same time, and that was supposedly of great concern for the extraterrestrials.
Well,
the floor is yours.
There's so much, you know, alien stuff about they really went to the moon, or they went to the moon and there's aliens there. You see, the same conclusion, though, is what they want you to think, which is that we went to the moon when we did not. Mm-hmm. If they say we went to the moon, but we were hiding the teddy bears on the moon, it still says that we went to the moon when we did not. They don't care why you believe they went to the moon, as long as you believe it.
All right, we are into a break. We'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. We'll be on Final Approach, but we'll take one or two more phone calls. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We played earlier, during one of the commercial breaks, we played a spot for Ed Grimsley's new movie, Are Star Wars Real? There's an interview in there with a lady with some inside information, folks. You really need to get your hands on that. So check it out. It's at my website. All right, Bart, are you still with me?
I am.
All right, let's go to the telephone. And see if our caller is still with me. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Real quick, I just want to I appreciate the research your guest has put into doing what he's doing, and I think he's right on what he's talking about. But I think we kind of have to look at it in two ways. Maybe everything about the moon missions was fake, but who's to say that we haven't developed technology on our own or via alien intervention and have made it to the moon, but just not on the level that we were telling the public we were trying to at that time. Now we have the ability to perhaps hide what we're doing. I think all those things can kind of be tied in together and all achieve the same goal, you know what I mean?
Okay, Bart, what do you think?
Well, the space shuttles killed 14 people, and I hope they wouldn't see.
Well, he didn't want to stick around and hear the answer. I guess he'll hear it on online, okay?
Yeah, the space shuttles killed 14 people, and I hope they're just not doing that to make us think, you know, what they, I don't know what they would want us to think from that, but it's like they have old technology or bad technology or whatever. It just seems to me that the easiest explanation is generally true, and that is that they simply faked it. I mean, it's easier to make a movie about going to Mars than going to Mars. And I think they killed the space shuttle people because they were being arrogant with their technology and thought they were more advanced than they really were. I think it's very difficult to launch a rocket anywhere on Earth without someone knowing about it. So they might as well do it right in front of people. But that doesn't mean the space shuttle isn't up to some strange things. And that some of the probes they're sending out aren't doing some strange things either, like landing on asteroids and things like that.
And why do you think they would be doing that?
Well, I think, how much time we got? I think better wrap up, huh? Well, I think there's probably an asteroid or some other heavenly body heading toward Earth in the very near future. And that's why they spent all these billions of dollars to send a probe to the asteroid Eros and tried to make it look incidental that they wanted to land on the thing. I mean, you don't plan an asteroid probe for 5 years and spend billions of dollars and a few days beforehand come up with the brilliant idea of landing on the thing. That in and of itself was misdirection to make us think that landing on it wasn't the number one purpose and wasn't the most important thing to them. You know, the one that killed the dinosaurs was 3.5 miles across, and the one they sent the probe to is 3.5 times bigger. So, you know, something's going on here. If they didn't tell us that the moon landings were fake, they're certainly not going to tell us if an asteroid is heading toward Earth, and the space shuttle could very well be trying to create some defense mechanism against that. Unfortunately, if God wants to destroy the Earth, you know, I doubt if there's anything we can do about it. So I'm not sure what they're doing. I am a suspect of the engines on the space shuttle itself that no one seemed to pay attention to because you got this kerosene burning, which is catching your eye. The engines coming out of the space shuttle look really advanced to me. It doesn't even look like exhaust. It looks more like shock waves or something coming out of the space shuttle engines themselves. Next time you see a launch or look at a playback, take a look at that. Now, what that means is they could very easily be going to other space stations that are military in use that are somewhere else in Earth orbit. It does not take, in my opinion, 3 days from the space shuttle to get to the space station. That's how long it took to go to the moon. So why are they trying to con us into thinking that it takes 3 days for the space shuttle to reach the space station? I don't see how that could possibly be true. So the space shuttle is doing something for those 3 days. And you can guess, you know, and use your imagination as to what that might be.
Earlier, You were talking about why is it that all of a sudden we're all getting fat, and then you know there's all these pharmaceutical companies that are trying to sell us pills to make us lose weight and so forth. And I said I had a personal testimonial about that. I lived for most of a 5-year period outside of the United States, with only some very brief periods of time back in the USA during that 5 years. I have a house in, I have two houses in two different countries outside the United States. Now, when I leave the United States.
For a barbecue.
Do what?
I said, I hope you invite me over to one of them for a barbecue.
Well, after the show, I'll tell you where one of them is, and you won't want barbecue. Mm. But anyway, the I can leave the United States and go to my home in one of these countries. Actually, I can just leave the United States and go anywhere. And my weight, I weigh 220 pounds. My weight will drop to 185 and hold steady without me going on a diet, and in fact, with me eating everything I can possibly stuff in my mouth all day, every day. And my weight will drop to 185. And this is not just once that it's done it. I've got a lot of experience leaving this country, going overseas, living for a period of time, and then I come back. And as soon as I come back, if I just eat one or two meals a day, my weight jumps right up to 220. It's the poisonous food. That's my opinion. My opinion is that it's poisonous, because if it weren't, it wouldn't make us plump up like it does. It's the food that we eat here.
And what I'm discovering, I'm afraid I'm a slow learner sometimes. You see, the people who I work with who knew the moon landings were fake before I did, when I was still saying, no way, you know, it couldn't possibly be true, I kept saying, oh, this is the biggest conspiracy. And they're like, no, it's not. And I, of course, said in my stubbornness, oh, yeah, it is. And they said, no, it's not. We went back and forth a little bit. I thought, it's got to be the biggest conspiracy. What could be bigger than faking the moon landings? Well, in the last month of my little X-Files adventures, I hate to admit that I think they might be right. There are things going on that are just unbelievable and unbelievably dark, satanic, evil, whatever you want to call them. You know, the way I look at it is, what's the most important quarter of a football game, right?
The last one.
That's right. And in my humble opinion, we're in that quarter, maybe the last few minutes of that quarter. And what happens in the last quarter of a game, in the last few minutes of a game, is the heat gets turned up, and a lot of fights break out, and a lot of crazy things start happening. And I think that's what we're heading down the pike to happen. And so I would definitely repent of your sins and pray Jesus into your heart if you believe in that, though I don't. But do whatever you can to come clean, because things are coming down the pike, and I would definitely, want everyone to be as ready as possible.
All right. I want to thank you for being with us. It's been very interesting. And folks, you want to be sure that you go over to moonmovie.com and check out the videos that are available there. Moonmovie.com, and you can get some DVDs there too.
Go to moonmovie.com, and then if anyone wants to contact me personally for a benevolent reason, just send that to Sibrel@SIBREL.com.
Okay. Stay on the line with me for a moment, and I'll talk with you briefly after I go off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Bart Sibrel, and just some fascinating stuff. You need to go check it out. Should you believe it? Well, I'm certainly not your advisor on what you should believe or disbelieve, but I think you should investigate it. Our policy here is anyone who's making waves, I don't want to know what everyone else says about them. I want to know what they say. And that's why we bring them on the show, so that you can hear for yourself what the person is saying for himself. And then you can ask questions, you can investigate, it gives you something to work with. And I hope that you do that. I hope you'll check into all of this and do some research. Find out what you think is the deal here. Moonmovie.com. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.